This is FUV Live Sessions, a podcast brought to you by WFUV in New York City. Each week, we talk to artists in our Bronx studio, and we listen to them play a live set. You'll get to hear the songs and learn about the artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to follow the show to stay up to date on all the latest episodes, and you might even find your next favorite artist or band. And if you like what you hear, make sure that you rate and review the show so other music lovers can find it. This is FUV Live Sessions with Peach Pit. I'm Megan Aftermat, and I'm here with host Sam Sumpter at WFUV. Hey, Sam.
Hey, Megan. So stoked to be here.
Oh, this was such a good session. And I think we were just talking about this before, but the thing that really comes through about this group is how warm and kind and welcoming they are. Can you tell me a little bit about what it was like to hear some of the songs from this fourth album and just to hang with them in the studio?
Oh my gosh, I fell in love with all four of them. Just such a group of genuine people. Like, coming into the studio, it's always a wonderful feeling when you love a band's music and then they don't just meet your expectations but exceed them. They blew through the set like perfectly. Like, Solo Maintenance had so much fun and just nailed it. And then also were just such kind people to everyone in the studio. And it was really great getting to talk to them, hear kind of the story of their creative process and about their friendship. They've been friends for like, and playing music together for 10 years now. And it really comes through when they're here hanging out, like the jokes and the banter, but also just clearly the genuine love they have for each other. It's really awesome.
We're going to hear some songs from them. What is the first song that we're going to hear?
The first one we're going to hear is Magpie. That is the title track and actually named after the actual bird. They were in Australia, saw some magpies, and Neil wrote down the word magpie in his phone and then later did some research and came up with the song.
Days let go, sniffing.
That was Peach Pit on FUV Live with Magpie. That is the title track from their brand new album. I am Sam Sumter, and I'm thrilled to be here with Neil, Chris, and Peter. How are y'all doing?
Doing great, Sam. Thanks Wonderful. For having us. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for being here. First off, congratulations. Your baby is out in the world. How does it feel?
Feels great. Yeah. I think we had been listening to it so long that we had gotten a bit tired of it, but throwing it back out into the world kind of reinvigorates the excitement. And
gives it a facelift, kind of.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It does. So.
The record was in my iPhone for like 11 months before we released it. So yeah, it's nice that everyone else can hear it too.
And now it's in everyone's iPhone.
Well, one day maybe.
Not like U2 style, but
Songs of Innocence. Yeah, not quite.
Coincidentally, I actually just took up birding, so I'm feeling very emotionally attached on another level to this album. So let's talk ornithology. Okay. Tell me about the reference, the title of this album. Tell me about the magpies.
Truthfully, what happened was we went to Australia on a tour last year. It was our first time over there, and they got lots of magpies in Australia. We don't really have magpies where we're from in Canada. They are in other areas, but yeah, you'd see big flocks of them flying around, and they're kind of cool birds, and I really just saw them, and I was like, oh, what's that? And someone told me it was a magpie, and I just thought it seemed like a good song title. So that's usually how songs start out for us, is I write a song title in my phone. I think that sounds like a song to me. And then we got home from the tour, and I did a quick Google search of magpies. I was doing my research. I always do very in-depth research for our songs. And I found like the Wikipedia page for magpie had like a weird old poem that was like kind of like medieval sort of like, yeah, sort of sounding weird old poem. And it was talking about how magpies, if you see like different numbers of them, they mean different things. So like one magpie could be like a good omen. Two is a bad omen. Three, it means a wedding is going to happen. Four, a baby is going to be born, et cetera, et cetera. And I kind of liked this sort of idea that the magpie is kind of neither good nor bad, but they can represent evil and good. From there, I just created this sort of like character. It's like a kind of maybe how I imagined my life going if I hadn't quit drinking when I was like, this was like 6 years ago now, and lots of my friends and family have done the same. And just like, it's sort of an over to the top picture of maybe where things could have ended up had I chosen to go down a different sort of a path in my life.
That's really interesting to take the word and, you know, come up with a song afterwards. Why do you think it is? Or like, what is it about a certain word that just comes to you and you're like,
yeah,
that's one?
I just think it sounds cool. I can't really explain it. It's just more of a feeling. And also, to be fair, I write like hundreds of these in my phone. So most of them don't become songs. For some reason, Magpie did. That's just how my brain works. I can kind of envision the song once I have the title. That's how it starts out.
Yeah. And another song that you're going to play for us actually called Am I Your Girl? That is a line from Call Me By Your Name, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. There's a scene in that movie where Timothée Chalamet's character has like this little girlfriend in Italy where he's staying. And she eventually kind of realizes that she's kind of being strung along, and she like rides up to him on her bicycle and she's like, am I your girl? And I just thought it was really sweet. I was like very heartbroken when I saw that movie. So it really struck a chord with me. And that's where we got the idea for that song.
Yeah, that's funny timing, because this past weekend in New York, there was a Timothée Chalamet lookalike
contest
in Washington Square Park.
Yeah, why did they have that? I saw that on Instagram. I don't know why it happened, but
I have no idea. But you could have been
but
there.
But he showed up.
Oh, yeah.
Timothée Chalamet showed up. Yeah.
Did he win?
Yeah, he looked the least Timothée Chalamet of all of them, actually, to be honest. Yeah.
Cool. Interesting.
Yeah. That's
There's cool. some beauty there. Yeah. Right? Well, let's go ahead and play that one then. I mean, we're jumping right into it. This is Am I Your Girl? From Peach Pit. In the bathroom stall, I was
again now. Could be you're wrong, but it seems that I lost you a bit last fall.
So much. And let's talk more about the album. I mean, we're kind of jumping all over the place a little bit, but I want to get back to the idea of the magpie, because I read that the Beatles heavily inspired this album, and the Beatles have Blackbird, and then the Fireman's song Two Magpies. Mm. Was there any tie, or is that just a coincidence between those Beatles references and members of the Beatles and the title of this album?
I think it's probably coincidental, but at the same time, like, we are humongous Beatles fans and like fans of all of their solo records and like everything that they've done. So all of it kind of seeps into what we make, I would say. So maybe that's why I wrote down Magpie. I was like, oh, I'm going to write a bird song.
Subconscious.
Yeah, exactly, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think it's probably just coincidental.
Mm-hmm.
This being heavily influenced, this album, right? You wanted kind of to be more sonically diverse, and that's why you look to the Beatles, right? Because all of their albums are kind of all over the place, a lot of influences, a lot of things happening. How did the Fab Four inspire your Fab Four?
Yeah, well, I think we kind of had this is our fourth record now, and on our first one, it kind of came out the way it came out. And our second one, we had a lot of influence from our producer, John Congleton. He was awesome. And our third record, we really felt like that was the record where we had a target and we hit it. And coming into the fourth one, all we knew is that we wanted to be more energetic and like have stuff to play live that would really feel exciting for the crowd. And I think the sonically, the diversity of it kind of came about accidentally more than like trying to hit a target. But sometimes you look at it in hindsight and you see like that's always what was supposed to happen. And then even listening to Beatles records and realizing there's not like a sonic through line on a lot of those and being aware that we can just kind of go all over the map and it's not going to feel disjointed. It's just going to feel like it's going places. I think that's at least for me one thing I realized throughout. So yeah, a bit of a mistake, but a happy accident. and we're happy that it is as diverse as it is, because I think it kind of takes the listener on a journey.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like that gives you some freedom too, if you're not stuck on adhering to like it has to like be part of this theme or it has to be like on this like track. It kind of like opens things up for you to be creative and to like have more fun.
Totally. And the way we make or write songs together, it's we don't really necessarily decide, okay, this song is going to be like this. We just like have the bones of a song, and the song almost kind of like just like works itself out. We just kind of like reveals itself as we're writing it. So we're not the kind of band who sits down and really knows how to like go from point A to point B. We just like start at point A and then who knows where it's going to end
like
up.
It's like Mikey's beat will inspire the direction, or Chris's guitar riff will then inspire the direction. Yeah. And it just kind of goes from there.
And I do want to talk about creative process, because, you know, again, we keep hitting back on the Beatles, but y'all watch the Peter Jackson doc, Get Back, that told the story of the Beatles recording Let It Be. How did their creative process kind of inspire yours?
Oh, I thought it was so cool how their creative process is just exactly like everyone's creative process.
Yeah, totally. That was inspiring.
At it. It turns out. It was like boring. It was like if you, it was amazing because it was the Beatles, but it was almost like mundane in how they were just going at it every day. And it feels that way in the studio. And it felt like, you know, not all that different from working as a band together, except it's the Beatles and they come up with the best ideas of all time. But the process wasn't anything that, you know, it was almost just proof that their genius lies within themselves rather than the way they did things.
Because you're seeing them make this record and they're literally just making it up as they go along, which is how everybody does it. But when you're on the outside looking in, oftentimes you don't think that that's the case. You're like, oh, obviously they just know how to do it, but they don't, you know? So I think watching that documentary is good for any band or any musician, any creative person, just to see that like even the people who are like at the top of their field are just kind of doing it the same as you. They're just kind of making it up.
Stars, they're just like us.
Just like us.
just better.
Just like us, yeah. I don't know whether that's like a relief or just more frustrating because you're like, oh, there is no secret to it. Just really talented.
Yeah. I think it's a relief because, then you don't, there's nothing that you need to figure out how to do it. You just got to just go in every day and try. That's all you got to do.
Just try. I
just
love
gotta
it.
Just got to try. Yeah.
Well, for the record, y'all have come up with a beautiful album as well. But there were some challenges, right, and some roadblocks when you were in the studio trying to get this done.
Yeah, so we tried to make the album originally going into the studio with not a lot of songs figured out fully. We had like bones of lots of different stuff. Now, we had done this in the past where songs like Shampoo Bottles or like Every Little Thing on our last album, songs that we really like, we wrote in the studio basically. They weren't fleshed out. We were just in the room together. We figured them out really quickly. And so we kind of had, after watching the Beatles documentary, we were like, okay, we're just going to go in and we're just going to like wing it and we'll just see what happens. But after a month and a half in the studio, we didn't really feel like we had a very good product at the end of it. So we just decided, hey, screw it. We're going to take 6 months off and we're going to book some more studio time at the end of the year. And then we just worked really, really hard to write way more songs and be way better prepared. And it worked out for us.
Yeah. And I feel like there's some freedom too of being out in the studio or out of the studio rather, where you don't feel this like clock ticking.
For
and,
sure.
Like,
for
the
sure.
time is money element
when
of
we
d- the
yeah,
studio.
When we decided to like move the session to the end of the year, I just felt like a million pound weight off my shoulders. I breathed the biggest sigh of relief. And then I realized, oh shit, I need to work really hard. So,
Yeah, but on your own time rather than having that, like, okay, we're locked in for this many hours a day
and paying for it too.
Yeah, that was the thing about that Get Back documentary is that they were making their record that way. And we're like, maybe we can make a record like the Beatles. And it turns out that we don't have the like creative juices in that environment. So it's,
or we just didn't have it last year. Maybe next year it'll work out great.
Yeah, we're gonna go in more prepared. Yeah. I must insist.
Fifth album's the charm.
Yeah. Well, it didn't work last time, so let's try it again.
Yeah, try anything twice.
Yeah, right on.
But I think it is like kind of relieving, like, you know, you're talking about watching the Beatles, like how they made the record, like you consider that a relief. But to hear that, you know, from y'all, like as a creative person, I think all creatives like to know that a band that you love like goes through that same sense of struggle and like that it's not that easy. So what advice do you have to artists who are kind of struggling, like having writer's block or, you know, a little blocked creatively?
I think it helps to know that everybody experiences that stuff. Like writer's block is just unavoidable. And the only way to combat it is to just keep trying every single day. I can't remember who it was that said it. Maybe it was like, it might have been like Sting, but his metaphor was like writing songs is kind of like going fishing. It's like you got to go fishing every single day and you might not catch a fish, but on like the seventh day you catch a fish. And like that's how I would say making art feels to me, or making songs or whatever. That's what we do, is that most of the time you're gonna come out with just like nothing really to show for the work that you did. And then on like that seventh, eighth, ninth day, you'll like have that eureka moment of like, okay, I got something here. So you just got to stick with it, I would say.
Yeah, it's like seasons too, right? Like there's any time there's been a season for us where like I feel like we're creatively drained or anything like that, you're kind of like, oh, is this how it's going to be forever? And then it rolls back around and there's a time for input, there's a time for output, and you need both to kind of get the record out,
it's like
out
a,
of you.
Yeah, there's such like dips and like ups and downs and stuff with anything creative, I would say. And then any other advice that you guys would give to like a band starting out, what do you think is important?
Yeah, I don't know. Just practice.
Yeah, practicing.
Yeah,
practice.
It's so true, though. Yeah. It's like when we started this band, we didn't play a show for like a year and a half, but we rehearsed all the time because I was dead set on us playing our first show and actually like being ready for it, you know, and leaving a good at first impression with people. So I think that's pretty key.
Especially because you had played shows in another band where you weren't ready.
I was scarred from having terrible sets myself.
Yeah, I can imagine that's a painful thing to go through.
Yeah, totally.
Like, never again.
Never again. When you go home after the show and you're just in bed and you're just like, why do I suck? Yeah.
Yeah, not the best.
No.
I've been there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, y'all have known each other for, I think, since like at least high school, right? You've been a band for 10 years, which I feel like in band years is 100?
Yeah.
100 years?
It's true. Yeah. Most people die before 10.
Well, like, kind of, what's the secret to, because there's the art that you're making, but on one hand, but just like, maintaining those relationships, because I feel like it's like a relationship that like four people are in. So how do you keep each other happy and keep the relationship healthy?
I mean, I think we really lucked out that all of us are really, really good at communicating with each other. Mm-hmm. Like if anyone feels something like bad about someone else or something didn't sit with them right, it's brought up instantly. And we all also know how to deal with that when those things are said to us from someone else. So we're kind of like, we all have those building blocks. And I think, which is really lucky because there are a lot of bands that don't have that. And it gets
plus
messy.
We're really good friends. That's the thing.
Yeah,
it's like we
sure.
would be all four of us really close friends, even if we weren't in a band together.
Yeah. There's a lot of people who like get into it and they're like, oh, this person's a really good drummer. This person's a really good guitar player. So let's do this. But then if the hang isn't good, it kind of like doesn't matter all that much. So we were hanging out and like going to, you know, friends' cabins together in our early 20s before we ever picked up instruments together and started playing. And I think that really helped the foundation of it.
Chris and I decided we wanted to make a band together when we were at a music festival together and just like young in our early 20s, just being like, we're gonna do it, man. It's gonna be so sick.
Yeah.
And here you are now.
Yeah. 10 years later.
Mm-hmm. I do love when those promises actually come to fruition. We're like, yeah, dude, we're going to do it, man.
Yeah,
and
when
you're
like, yeah.
But really, do you want to do it?
Yeah. It was like one of those like drunken conversations where I like woke up the next day, like hungover, just like, oh my gosh, why did I say that to Chris? I'm such a loser.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Well, I know. I'm glad it worked out for the sake of y'all and for the sake of your fans. And I mean, how do you think that this relationship too impacts like your songwriting and your ability to work together in the studio and on stage? This is like deep knowledge of who each other are as people.
I think there's like, you know, no matter what, especially when we're making music, there's going to be tension. Like there just has to be. Like you have ideas, you're going back and forth, you're getting attached to your ideas, and people, you know, like it's such a subjective thing that like you want to really fight for your taste and what you think is going to be best for the song. But I think just having those relationships and understanding that tension is part of the process and then moving past it and forgetting about it, you know, like having short-term memory loss for that stuff is so important and so good, because there's no way you're going to be in a band and it's 100% happy, fun times all the time. Like it is like a marriage. You have to like work at it, but it's also like the most fruitful relationships that I've got in my life as far as like what we get to experience together and what we get to create together. And it's kind of like meaning of life stuff, you know, like it's special and we're sharing it. And part of that is the work through those moments to create what ends up making it happen.
And I want to go back to the songwriting a little bit, because one thing I think that's interesting is the way with a lot of these songs, you're kind of writing from a different perspective rather than just like, you know, from your own. Do you find that that allows you to kind of express things you wouldn't be able to otherwise, be more vulnerable?
Yeah, I think so. Possibly. A lot of the time we have songs that are I write from the perspective of somebody and they're usually talking to me. So maybe it's like what I wish that they would say to me, or like something like that, like something that I feel like I would like to hear from that person. But a lot of the time I also just like to write from a different perspective, because it can be kind of boring just writing from your own perspective all the time.
So to tour this album, you're heading out first to Australia, home of the Magpies. Back from whence you came. New Zealand, you're doing EU and the UK. You know, you're probably used to it by now. You guys have toured a bunch. You've, you know, played big festivals and big rooms. But what is it like to just play songs for crowds on the other side of the planet?
it's so cool to be in a place, especially, you know, at places that are like completely different cultures, like so culturally different from you, like being in Indonesia or like in like Singapore or something. And, you know, they're like religiously very, very different from us, where we are too. And to just be playing a show and having like, you know, teenage girls in hijabs like singing all the lyrics to Drop the Guillotine or something is just like really unreal. And to realize that, you know, teenagers are just the same everywhere,
the same everywhere in the world, like, it doesn't matter where you are.
Yeah, so
fundamentally,
yeah, it's really cool. But yeah, I don't know,
it's sweet. Yeah, there's like definitely a lot of moments when we play shows in places like London or New York or in Asia or something that you kind of have like, or I do anyway, like kind of like a sort of out of body experience where you're just like on stage and you're just like, oh my gosh, how am I here right now? I cannot believe that we're playing this show. You really start to feel like your 16 year old self again, where you're like, you get that perspective because you do get used to playing shows. And like the way that our career has worked out is that we really have kind of just like slowly laddered up to like bigger and bigger venues. So we never had like a overnight jump to like way bigger, massive places. So you kind of get used to it all along the way. And so because of that, those like moments are a little bit less. And then sometimes they just like hit you like a truck where you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe we're here. Like when we played Lollapalooza last year or something, like it was just the craziest stage ever. And I was like, I can't believe we're doing this right now.
Out of body.
Yeah, out of body, just like so happy. So it's really special that we get to do that.
Yeah, and I think it's so cool too, just seeing like how much your music means to everybody. Like one of our interns who's here was talking about how like y'all's music was all he listened to during COVID, how he was like riding around on his bike, just like blasting your music. So it's like, you know, like time and place, but totally, just the ability of music to really unite people, I think, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's wild because, we feel, I mean, everybody feels that for the music that they love, you know? So like giving that feeling to somebody else is just, it's wild to me that somebody could think that about us, our music.
It's fun. When we're touring around, it's kind of like, you know, you go around to these different venues and there's just a certain type of Peach Pit fan that shows up and it's always like, they're always cool. Like they're always people that I'm like, oh yeah, we could totally hang and this would be awesome. And sometimes when we're playing shows, it's like, yeah, we're making music, but we're kind of like manufacturing a vibe right now too and bringing it together into a room. And it's always one I want to be a part of. So it's a really special feeling to be able to do that in North America at home, to do it in Australia.
We really have like the nicest fans ever. Like whenever we play shows afterwards, the security and like the venue staff always come up to us and they're like, oh my gosh, you guys, is like the people here were so polite and so nice and so friendly.
Yeah.
And they're like, that's not always the case. And it's really cool.
A lot of people leave with a new best friend, like someone they just met at the show, you know.
That happens like, a lot, for sure. Like we've been doing these record signings this week and people have been showing up with, they're like, this is my best friend, we met at your concert last year. And you're like, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That Canada nice is contagious.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. hopefully.
Well, you've gotten into a cadence of releasing albums about every 2 years. So I've got to ask, are you already in your iPhone right now? Are you already at work at number 5?
Oh yeah, absolutely, for sure. I think every time we put out a record, it's like you have this big like feeling of creativity of like, well, also like records, like they sit with you for a long time before you release them. So like this record, I'm so glad everyone gets to hear it, but to me it's kind of old news. We recorded it a long time ago. I've listened to the songs a lot, so I'm already like past it and ready to work on, we're already ready to work on the next thing. And yeah, you just always want to make something better than the last one. So we're working already for sure.
Amazing. Well, can't wait to hear it. But before, we got to celebrate this one, y'all. Magpie is a beautiful album. Thank you so much for being here. And we're going to close out with a stripped down little love song called Did You Love Somebody? Do you want to introduce that for us?
Yeah, this song, it was written the very last song to be written for the album. We had a winter break and then we had a week left to kind of just tie things, all the last little bits and stuff on the record in January. And over Christmas, I was like, yeah, I gotta write one more song. And I wrote this love song. It's for my fiance, Jasmine. I wrote it for her.
Oh, congratulations. That's very sweet.
Thank you.
Wow, well, thanks so much for being here, y'all.
Thanks, Sam.
And
again, congrats. This is Did You Love Somebody from Peach Pit.
So soft and low, did you wake your love? things that have come before. Did you bring all those songs you sing, or have I been sung only songs for me? Did you love somebody only just for the rush like me? Did you fear the hand you hold had let go right as you finish saying, don't you go all silent too, just let me chew on all the things that you want to tell me. I've heard whisper on a wing, let silence sting. So go and say what you want to sell me. In the moments on your own, did you beg that love would take you home? Did you see how your love could be and decide to have? That's enough for me. Did you love somebody for to make your mistake your fool? Did you feel a pale wind blow past you so right as you finish saying, don't you go you wanna tell me. I've heard whisper on a wing that silence sting. So go and say what you wanna sell me. Don't you go all silent too, just let me chew on all the things that you wanna tell me.
Was Peach Pit performing and in conversation at WFUV in New York City. A big thank you to the band for joining us in our studio and to Columbia Records. Thanks to our WFUV audio team, including Jim O'Hara, Nadia Griga, and Matthew Ellersick. Our FUV live studio sessions are engineered by Jim O'Hara. Our associate producers for this episode were Catherine Sherman and Andrew Massey. Megan Aftermat is our executive producer. Our theme music was composed by John Crick. Be sure to follow FUV Live Sessions wherever you get your podcasts so you can listen to new episodes and find your next favorite artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday. You can also catch audio and video of FUV Live Sessions on WFUV.org. FUV Live Sessions is a production of WFUV in New York City. I'm your host, Sam Sumter.